Welcome to today's teaching. I am Dr. Ruth. We are moving to the last chapter here in the book of Matthew. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am so excited that you stuck with me until the end of this Gospel of Matthew. Powerful, powerful book here. Powerful, timeless teaching we have learned from the Lord. And today we are in the very last chapter, Matthew chapter 28. And what is the gist of this chapter? The gist is that today we will learn that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is risen from the dead, as he prophesied, as he promised, as he told his disciples, as the Old Testament scriptures prophesied, it had happened. And we will also learn about the Great Commission, an ordinance from the Lord Jesus to the body of believers. Okay, so that is the gist of this chapter. Let's get into it right away. Matthew 28 verse 1. Now, if you listened to the previous chapter, you remember that the Lord Jesus was already buried and the tomb was heavily guarded and protected. So now verse 1, chapter 28 picks it up. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, let me pause here. After the Sabbath, so right now we are already Saturday has ended, and at dawn on the first day of the week, the first day of the week, according to the Jewish tradition back then, and really even now, is Sunday. So at dawn, so this will be somewhere between 5 to 6 a.m., Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Matthew did not specify who this other Mary was, but I have read some commentators say that more than likely it was Mary, the mother of James and John. Verse 2, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Glory to God. That angel from heaven who sat on that stone symbolizes a few things. Number one, it symbolized victory, and it still symbolizes victory. Glory to God, victory. For the Lord Jesus' resurrection, victory for God the Father, victory to all those who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It also symbolized divine power, God's divine power over death, okay? And lastly, defeat or defiance of death, defeat of death. So that angel rolling back that stone and sitting on it has powerful application to our lives, as I just explained. Verse 3, his appearance, this is referring to that angel now who sat on the stone, his appearance was like lightning. Verse 4, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Glory to God. We are learning how in the presence of the power of God, we see how these Roman soldiers who were positioned to guard the tomb appeared as dead men themselves in the presence of the light of God, the power of God, the resurrection power of God. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today as we study God's word. Friend, as this ministry is blessing you, I want to speak to your heart. Would you consider blessing us back with a one-time donation or become a Christ-centered partner? As a Christ-centered partner, you join hands with us and with the Lord in the middle, and you pray for us on a regular basis. We pray for you on a regular basis, and then you bless us financially with whatever amount the Lord puts in your heart. And the primary way we will use your financial donation is to pay for studio time so we can produce more Bible teachings like this and to reach more people. This is God's will for you, for myself, and for the body of Christ, that we give into his work so we can reach many more people. And God is so faithful. He has told us throughout his word that he will bless us back abundantly, exceedingly, as we give right back into his work. One scripture you can stand on is Luke 6:38. God will bless you back as you give into this fruitful ministry so we can pay for studio time to produce more shows and reach more people. I also want to leave you with this scripture just to strengthen you to know that when you give into God's work, God takes it seriously. Deuteronomy 15:10 teaches, give generously, okay, to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. That is a promise that when you give into God's work, God will take it seriously and he blesses you back abundantly. So friend, as you have been blessed by these teachings, we thank you in advance for blessing us back. So here are some ways you can donate into this ministry anywhere in the world. All you need is internet access. Here is our safe and very secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, it is drruthtanyi.org/donate. You can make a donation right there, whatever the Lord puts in your heart. We receive it and we say thank you. If you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here is the telephone number. It's 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. We also receive donations through Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Again, the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi, that is for Cash App. And we thank you abundantly for investing into this fruitful ministry, and together we are advancing God's work and transforming lives. So we thank you for your donation, and God will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. Here is the teaching. Verse 5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Let me pause here. The message the angel relayed to the women were four specific messages. Let's go over this. Number one, do not be afraid. The angel said, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Message number two, he is not here. He has risen just as he said. You see, don't be afraid. In the presence of the risen Christ, in the presence of God's power, there is no fear. Do not be afraid as a child of God, for the risen Christ dwells in your born-again spirit. Just like the angel told the women, do not be afraid. Fear has to go in the presence of God. So the second message was, he has risen. And let's get into the third message from the angel to the women. Come and see the place where he lay. Evidence. The third message from the angel to the women was the evidence that the Lord Jesus is risen from the dead. Let's get into the fourth message in verse 7. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. Glory to God. So the fourth message given from the angel to the women was for them to go and proclaim the good news to his disciples that he is risen, just like today. That is our message likewise. The message from the angel to these women is applicable to our personal lives 100%. We should not be afraid. The tomb is empty. There is verifiable evidence of the resurrection, and we should turn around and spread that to others, proclaim it, share the good news with the rest of the unbelievers. Verse 7, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. The angel told the women. Let's get into verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. The best news ever, the unbelievably best news, I lack human words to describe it, that the Lord Jesus raised from the dead, that news is enough to fill you with the joy of the Lord today, no matter what you are going through. That is unbelievably good news. So the women, though afraid, were filled with joy of the good news that the Lord Jesus was indeed raised from the dead as he had prophesied. Verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Friend, Jesus Christ was worshipped as God. Jesus Christ is still deserved to be worshipped as God because he is God. Then, this is verse 10, Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. There we go again. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. You see, this is so obvious that even though the disciples abandoned Jesus because they were afraid, we see here clear evidence that the Lord had forgiven them, a very forgiving God that we serve. He called them brothers. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. And when we get to the Gospels of John and even Luke, we will learn that the disciples, due to fear of the Romans, did not quite go to Galilee right away. They stayed there in Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus first appeared to them there. Then later on, they left for Galilee. Okay, so we get to verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. Verse 12. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. Let me pause. This is so interesting. We see two very opposite reactions going on in these verses in regards to the Lord Jesus' resurrection. We see the women afraid but yet excited, filled with joy, okay? And then we are learning about the chief priest and the elders trying to come up with some plan to bribe the guards to tell a lie. Amazing. Do you think these different types of reactions have changed today? No. Those who are deceived or allow themselves to be deceived by the evil one are still coming up with all sorts of unbelievably ridiculous excuses that the Lord Jesus is not risen. And those who truly believe are still rejoicing till today, just like myself, just like yourself, hopefully. And the other interesting thing here, let me go back and reread this verse 12. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while he was sleeping." So obviously, you see, you only bribe somebody to prevent them from telling the truth. So this was and is a historical fact that the Lord Jesus raised from the dead, and the chief priests and elders were so afraid they were attempting to hide the truth by bribing the Roman guards. What a pity. And let's see what verse 14 says. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. You got to keep the Roman government in perspective here. These Roman guards were deceived and they accepted the bribe because they were afraid of their lives. So, in an attempt for the Roman guards to protect their lives, they accepted the bribe from the chief priest, and they went about and told a lie to Pontius Pilate that the Lord Jesus' disciples stole his body. What a ridiculous... Wow. If a person can believe that, then they can believe anything. Verse 15. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. Just what I just explained. In other words, the soldiers took the money, went about and spread the lie. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Friend, even in the 21st century, unfortunately, there are some Jews who still believe in this lie. Anyway, let me not even belabor the point. It is the enemy, Satan, even after the resurrection, was still attempting to prevent the blessed good gospel news. But Satan has been defeated on the cross. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus just defeated Satan hands down. So no amount of deception could prevent those who want to believe in the truth from coming to the Lord Jesus. The choice is yours. And as we will find out moving forward, the reason Christ appeared to his disciples multiple times and to over 500 other people. So this lie or this plot or deception by the enemy was just, it was a waste of time. It did not work back then. It still doesn't work. Okay, we'll move on to verse 16. Verse 16 and the end of this chapter here, which is verse 20, will talk about the Great Commission. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. 11 because Judas Iscariot had committed suicide at this point. Verse 17, when they saw him, meaning when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, again as God, but some doubted. Isn't this amazing? When we get to the Gospel of John, John would be specific. Thomas was really highlighted as one of the disciples who had overt doubt. And but what I want to say here is, this is amazing because at times transformation is a process. We see Matthew telling us here that some of the disciples doubted. He didn't list any names. Even if we were to talk just about Thomas, who had overt doubt, we will learn that when we get to the Gospel of John. It took him some time to transform, to come to the place of acceptance that the Lord Jesus is actually risen. What's the point? The point is that there are certain things in our personal life with the Lord That just takes time. And we should not be hard on ourselves. We should not be hard on others. Some people just need time. And as I mentioned earlier, if it's a good doubt meaning that a doubt that causes you to go to the scripture to search for answers, well, that is good. Because if you are doubting the Lord Jesus' resurrection right now, there is a plethora of evidence. You can go back and re-listen to this whole teaching. Okay, I had mentioned earlier about my book, Who is the Real Jesus? You can read that simple book. It's all biblically based. There are many tools to help you, primarily the Word of God. Go back and study Old Testament prophecies and study the Gospels, how the Lord Jesus fulfilled them. Get into the epistles, how he appeared to several people, over 500. The risen Christ also appeared to Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul. And as you study these scriptures about the resurrection or about the risen Christ, and if your heart is open, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and you would come to a place of firm belief. So good doubting is okay to the extent that you get into the Word of God to look for the evidence. And the evidence here is that the Lord Jesus is risen and is alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Hallelujah. Verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Obviously, he fulfilled all scriptures. He was raised from the dead, bodily form, and is alive. So he is the Lord and the King over all creation. He has power and authority in heaven and on earth. Verse 15, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Glory to God. And that brings us to the end of the Gospel of Matthew.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.